If you remember much of anything in past readings of Mark's gospel, if you've read through it, it's the shortest of the gospels, and Mark is sort of a no-nonsense writer. You may notice we're still in the first chapter of Mark's gospel, and Mark doesn't fool around with any nativity scenes or genealogies or anything like that. Mark jumps right in to Jesus and his ministry. I mean, at this point in the first chapter of Mark's gospel, Jesus has already been baptized. We've already heard about John the Baptist. He's already called his disciples, and now we get the real beginning of Jesus' ministry, all still in the first chapter of the gospel, according to Mark. The other thing that Mark reminds us of in this passage this week is how the people were responding already to Jesus. They were already amazed at him. And amazed, we are told, because he spoke and taught as one with authority. And that's what I've been pondering this week, wondering what is it that set Jesus apart from the other religious leaders, the other teachers, the other preachers of that day, and maybe of all times. Of course, maybe the most obvious answer is just who Jesus was. I mean, Jesus is not just human, like all of us, fully human. He's also fully divine. And that's one of the great mysteries and debates of the church, is the nature of Christ. But he is divine. And even though he only reveals that divinity once, that's on the mountaintop at the Transfiguration, I suspect that divinity kind of seeped through everything he said and did. I mean, you may know people in your life who just sort of stand out. I mean, they walk into a room, people notice. This may have to do with charisma, perhaps, as well. But there was something different about Jesus, and the people were immediately noticing and responding to it. But again, Mark keeps talking about Jesus' authority. He spoke, taught as one with authority. So what does that mean? Well, Mark also says this was in comparison to the other preachers, teachers of the law, the scribes, the Pharisees. And Jesus is clearly different from all of them. I think probably he was different in what he was saying, the content. I mean, Jesus is preaching good news. And as many of you don't know, even today, there's plenty of preachers who aren't, and politicians and others, who aren't preaching good news. They're preaching doom and gloom and fire and brimstone and destruction. And maybe the preachers of Jesus' time were doing the same. But Jesus preaches good news. Sure, there is judgment. There are expectations for us. But the good news is God is here. God is with you. God has sent me as your lifeline. There's still time. Change your hearts and minds. Turn things around. God loves you. God's with you. That's good news. But I suspect as well, Jesus has a different authority, not just because of what he's saying, but how he's saying it. And again, just how he's behaving in his life. I mean, what do we know about the scribes and the Pharisees, the other religious leaders of the day? The Gospels tell us, particularly Matthew, gives us long speeches when Jesus accuses them of hypocrisy. My name, this is from the prophet Isaiah, my name, God says, is on your lips, but your hearts are far from me. Or Jesus says to them, you hypocrites, you lay up burdens and weights upon others that you are not doing yourself. You're like a cup, you clean the outside, but the inside is still filthy. Hypocrisy We might say today, not practicing what you preach. And Jesus clearly not just preaches God's good news, he embodies it. He lives it. I mean, Jesus is the one who's saying God is concerned about those who are underfed and overlooked and the outcast and the poor. And then Jesus hangs around with those folks and eats dinner with them and calls them to be his disciples, fishermen and tanners and tailors and even women. Come, follow me. Jesus lives the message that he's preaching. That's part of his authority, I think. I mean, he's preaching in a way that even the demons, even the impure spirits are responding to him. We know who you are. Jesus is not just saying words, he's trying to live them as well. And clearly, many of the other preachers and teachers and leaders of Jesus' time were full of hot air, just saying words. I mean, the Pharisees are accused as well of just doing things for show, but not trying to live it themselves. Certainly, that doesn't occur in any preachers or politicians or leaders these days. Of course it does. But Jesus has a real, authentic authority because he's not just saying words. He's meaning them and living them. They're in his actions as well as his mouth. And the people notice and respond. I also came across an interesting comment. I was looking up the Greek word here for authority. It's a word, I'm going to butcher the pronunciation, I'm sure. It's exousia. And it means authority. It can also mean power. But one of the commentaries I looked at said it also is wrapped up with the word freedom. Jesus was preaching freely as opposed to other preachers and teachers who were bound by tradition. Just saying the same things everyone had always said. You know, Jesus, though, it's something new and fresh. That's why some people responded well to it. Others responded with that great church response, "We've never done it that way." But Jesus is free of tradition and all of that. And that gives him authority as well. Well, I think this ties in to Deuteronomy because Jesus is clearly one of those prophets, and he's more than a prophet, but he's at least a prophet too in the line of what God describes to Moses in Deuteronomy. God says to Moses and to the people, there will be prophets coming after you. I will put my words in their mouths. Woe to the people who do not listen to my prophets, but also, and even more so, woe to those prophets who speak about other gods, money, power, prestige, perhaps. But even more so, woe to those prophets who presume to speak in my name a word that I, God, have not told them. Now, I must admit, this passage, for about the last 25 years since I entered seminary, always chills me to the bone. Woe to any prophet who presumes to speak for me, God says, a word that I have not told them. I mean, look, just personally, that's what preachers do. That's what we're supposed to do. I mean, I stand up in front of you each Sunday, and there's a certain presumption about it. I'm supposed to be speaking to you, not the gospel according to Steve, but God's word for us here today. Even 25 years on, that fills me with fear and trembling every week. I mean, I take that seriously. I mean, the punishment's pretty severe. If you are claiming to speak God's word and you're not, God's not particularly happy about that. I take that seriously, that I want to be sure when I'm preaching to you, I mean, I'll give you my opinion any other time, just ask me, but But when I am preaching from the pulpit, figuratively, since I do it here in the aisle, this is supposed to be what I, to the best of my ability, think is what God is telling us today. It takes a certain presumption. I would also say, though, I don't think this message is just for preachers in the formal sense. We are all called to share and spread the gospel. I mean, what Jesus and what Deuteronomy are talking about here is evangelism, sharing and spreading the good news. And each of you is called to do that as well as me. I'm just the one who stands up here on Sunday mornings and does it in a formal way. We're all called to share the gospel, spread the good news, to be teachers and preachers, to look to Jesus for an example, for that authority, to do that, that authenticity, to not just speak it, but even more so to try to be living it, not just preaching it, but again, trying to live what we say we believe. We are called to be partners in preaching, each and every one of us. How we do that, we'll begin with next week. Amen.